Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today from Matthew 25, Matthew 24, 25, Jesus talks about the end times, and of course, right along is a theme. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels are with Him, and He'll sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He'll separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. Dear friends of Christ, at the resurrection of all flesh, it's going to happen where the dead come from their graves when Jesus returns. And everybody is going to come back to life. You know, we often think, well, just the Christians are going to come back to life. No, all the graves are going to be emptied. Everybody is raised. Every human body comes back to life. In the Nicene Creed, we confess that, don't we? Jesus will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. That's what we believe. That's what we confess. And of course, everyone will be judged. Meanwhile, we're waiting here today, and He hasn't come yet. And it's the last Sunday of the church year, the time where as we wrap up a church year, we think of closing things down and starting up a new year, which begin next Sunday. I know we have the Advent colors out this week, but next Sunday will be Advent and the Christmas season and the new year. The new church year doesn't run in the calendar year. But today, next week, you know, all that new stuff, this week, judgment. That's how we end the year. But before the judgment day, there's a big surprise. And the surprise is that there's going to be a resurrection. Christ returns with a trumpet call of God and the archangels, and the graves are opened. The dead in Christ rise first, as we read in 1 Corinthians, our lesson. The dead in Christ rise first, and then after that, all the unbelievers come from their graves too. We're a bodily people. You know, one of the things that we do in our world today is we don't honor the body. But we are people with human bodies. That's the way God created us. Our bodies are important. The human body is important. And we need to understand that as Christians. The human body, what we do with our body, matters. On that last day, we are bodily people, and we are going to stand in our human bodies before the judgment seat of God. We're going to stand before God in our bodies. And again, the world undervalues all that. It undervalues human life. It undervalues the body. It says somehow we're going to live spiritually somewhere. We're going to be angels, and we're going to be spirits. And no, that's just a bunch of hooey. In the end, we're going to be us. The body matters. The body must be resurrected. And when we put the body into the grave, we as Christians look forward to that body coming back to life again. In order for there to be a judgment day, there has to be bodies to judge. And there will be. And each of us will have a body of work. We all have a history. We have a body of work of things that we've done in our bodies, the things that we've said and the things that we've thought and the things that we've done and the acts and the deeds. What did our bodies do and what our bodies confess and what did our bodies believe? That all matters. And we'll be judged by all that. The goats will go to eternal hell. The sheep to eternal life. And so our theme, heavenly comfort for the sheep, damnable sorrow for the goats. You know, the big surprise about the resurrection is everybody rises. Not just the chosen few, not just those who believe in Jesus, everybody gets their body back. Every dead person will rise to greet Jesus with the sound of God and the trumpet of God. The unbelieving dead, the agnostic dead, the atheistic dead, every sort of dead will rise. For as in Adam, all die, so also in Christ, all will be made alive. That will be a surprise day. especially for those who thought that all this Jesus stuff was a bunch of hooey. Everybody knows when Jesus comes back to life who Jesus is. They will all bow. They will all call upon His name. And at that time, the resurrection will reveal exactly who Jesus is. And everyone will know that He is the good shepherd, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Everybody will know who He is. He's not just simply the Savior of some. He was a Savior of all. But all did not come. Remember, the body is important. The human body is important in Christianity. And again, Jesus came in a human body. We're going to get into all that in Christmas, right? In a human body, He was born. In a human body, He suffered. In a human body, He died. In a human body, He ate. In a human body, He suffered. And all those things. And He's coming again. He ascended in a human body, and He's coming again. You guessed it, in a human body. Because the body matters. And the human flesh of Jesus is visible proof that the human body matters. We needed a Savior. What kind of a Savior? A bodily Savior. A Savior who had a human body. And all that matters. What we do with our body matters. Cremation, tattoos, all that matters. We are people, and Jesus came to make our bodies sinless, pure, and holy. Our souls, yes, but our bodies too. When Adam fell into sin, death happened. Death happened to human bodies. And all human bodies started to die. Because all human bodies are now under the curse. You sin, you die. The human body dies. It gets old. But then Jesus comes. And Jesus is the new Adam. And He sets our dead bodies free. He reverses the curse and He makes the bodies live. The human bodies matter. Paul talks about that in Romans and again in our reading from Corinthians. In Adam we all die, in Christ we live. In Adam our bodies are condemned, in Christ our bodies are given eternal life. Our bodies are resurrected. We're given glorified bodies. Some bodies are condemned. We're given bodies without sin. Unbelievers won't receive that blessing. The ghost won't receive that blessing of an eternal body that gets glorified. Their bodies suffer in the eternal lake of fire. Why? Because their bodies are still cursed. Jesus doesn't live in them. Immediately after the resurrection of all flesh, saving faith is going to be revealed. Where was Jesus? You heard know that. Where's Waldo? And you look in a book and you try to find out, where's Waldo? He's hiding because he mixes in with all the... Well, where's Jesus? And on that day, we're going to find out where Jesus is because He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the believers from the unbelievers. And the judgment will be not based on what they have done or what we have done. Big confusion about all that. The judgment will not be based on what you have done or what you haven't done, what they have done or what they haven't done. What we have done, we've all sinned, and we've all sinned intentionally in thought, word, and deed. That's what we've done. Now, all this can be quite confusing, so I want you to listen carefully. Jesus clarifies the events that are going to take place in that last day. On that judgment day, the sheep and the goats are going to be separated. The sheep on His right, the goats on His left. The sheep in the place of honor, the goats in the place of dishonor. Here, though, We live together. Can't tell the difference between the sheep and the goats. We don't have pictures of Jesus in our hearts. We can't tell who they are, but God knows, because you're His temple and God knows where He dwells. He knows those who are His body. And His body is the church. And His body dwells in them. And the good shepherd's going to sort it all out. Put in honor those who have the place of honor. And those who do not have the place of honor, He puts on His left in the place of dishonor. But notice what's going on. It's not about what their bodies did or didn't do. It's not about what their bodies did or didn't do. It's about what they believed. It's about the Christ that lives in them. Their bodies, what they did or didn't do, is merely a reflection of who they are and what they are. Sheep do sheep stuff. Goats do goat stuff. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree doesn't produce any fruit at all. It's a bad tree. In this life, the sheep and the goats are all together. We can't tell the difference. And the unrighteous and the righteous, they pasture together. They live in this life. But we all have the same Savior. He's available to all. And there's only one Savior in the world. The difference is we believe in Him. They didn't. We trusted in Him. They didn't. Some of them may even believe that He exists. They may even believe that He's with them. But they've got the wrong Jesus. And because they have the wrong Jesus, He's not in their hearts. And they'll say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we?" And He's going to say, "Depart from me." And we're going to part company forever. The sheep and the goats. The believers with their bodies will enter God's kingdom with glorified bodies, and we'll live there in a paradise in the new earth, in our new bodies forever. And the unbelievers cast into that eternal lake of fire, where we will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, that place where God prepared for the devil and all his angels. And what will happen to us? Well, none of it's going to happen based on what we've done. None of it's going to happen based on what we didn't do. We will be forever blessed, or we will be forever cursed, based on who we are. So who are you? Who are you? In your flesh, who are you? Who lives in you? Who lives in you matters. The human body matters. The human body of Jesus matters. And where that human body of Jesus lives matters. And Jesus lives in our hearts. The sheep. Recall the righteous, the good ones. We're not good. We've been made good because the holy body of Christ suffered and died for us, paid the price, calls us our own, makes us His family, declares us to be His body, chooses us to be His own, and we're justified by His grace through faith in Jesus. The difference between the sheep and the goats is really nothing except faith and unbelief. The sheep have faith, the goats don't. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, no matter how many people you visit. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, no matter how much money you give away to feed the poor. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because He doesn't live in you. He doesn't dwell in you. Your sins aren't forgiven. Your body is in death. Doesn't matter how many people you visited in prison. It doesn't matter how good you were to the people around you. If you are not the body of Christ, your sins are not forgiven. You cannot please God. Without faith, pleasing God is impossible. But the faithful, the sheep, they're different. We receive the kingdom of God based on faith. Not on what we've done, but on who we believed. Not on what we've done, but what our good shepherd did for us. And what, how he bore our sins, and how he carried our sins, and how he made us pure, and how he made us holy, and how he suffered and died that we might live. And he gave his body. And on that last day, judgment day, we're going to stand before him in our bodies. And all those works that we've done, no matter how insignificant or unimportant they may have seemed to be, all of a sudden will be magnified and honored and glorified and celebrated. And Jesus will say to you, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was imprisoned and you ministered to me. And the surprise will be not that the faithful did these works. Of course we did these works. Christ Jesus lives in us. Of course we did these works. Faith without works is dead, James writes. Of course we serve God with our bodies. How could we not? We're the body of Christ. But the surprise is this, that all the works that we did were done to Jesus. As you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. The least of these, my brothers, who are those guys? Who are the least of the brothers? Well, in the Bible, whenever it talks about brothers, it's talking about Christians. And it's talking about as you treat other Christians, you're actually treating Jesus. When you love other Christians, you're actually loving Jesus. When you serve other Christians, you're actually serving Jesus. We are his body. We are his church. We are his people. And when we serve each other, we serve Jesus. On judgment day, the thing that matters most to God, the works that he values the greatest, are the things we've done for each other. Look how they loved one another. The body matters. The good we do for each other's body matters. The sacrifice we make matters. The burdens we bear for other people matters. The things we do in our bodies may not save us. Jesus does that. But the things we do in our body matters. Why? Because the human body matters. Don't you see Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you're doing it to me. Do you believe that? You know, if we really did believe that, we'd always be ready to help out another Christian, no matter the cost, no matter the time, no matter the sacrifice. The human body matters. And what we do with our bodies matter. Luther writes, our treasures and our compassion would be opened up at once for the benefit of the brethren. There would be no ill will. And we would seize upon this honor and distinction ahead of others and say, oh Lord, Jesus, come to me. Come, enjoy my bread. Enjoy my wine. Enjoy my silver and gold. And then Luther said, how well it has been invested by me when I invest in Jesus. Do you ever think about that? How you live in your body is an investment in Christ. You know, we often think the gifts that we give, the sacrifices that we make are gifts or offerings or donations. We don't really think that those things are something different. But an investment is different. When you invest in something, that's different than a donation. When you help someone in their body, you're investing in Jesus. Whenever you invest in the least of these, Jesus says, you invest in me. I had the kids look around to each other. What do you see? I told them. I see Jesus, they said. That's right. Jesus says we see him in each other. And by serving each other, we serve God. By loving each other, we love God. Even among the least and the lowliest among us, because Jesus became the least and the lowliest among us. On the cross, he became the least and the less. And there he suffered and he died. He bore your sin in his body. He was literally hungry. He was literally thirsty. He was literally in prison. He was literally naked. He was literally sick. He was literally a stranger to this world, so that he might save the world, including you. So when you see another Christian hurting, help them and you help Jesus. When you see another Christian weeping, comfort them and you comfort Jesus. When you see another Christian struggling and you lift them up, you're not lifting them up, you're lifting up Jesus. Because you know who they are, and you know who you are, and we're the body of Christ. Because he suffered and he died, he was crushed for our iniquities and raised again for our justification to an eternal victory. Now, listen, I know this isn't easy. It's not easy to see Jesus in your spouse, especially if you don't really like your spouse. It's not easy to see Jesus in your kids. And kids, it's not easy to see Jesus in your parents. But he's there. It's not easy to see Jesus in your acquaintances. But this is the week of Thanksgiving, and thanks be to God, when Jesus looks at you, he doesn't see you. Who does he see? The body of Jesus. Thanks be to God. He sees Jesus. Jesus' body living in you. It's true. The all-seeing, all-knowing, ever-present God looks at you, and he chooses to see you through the lens of his Son. In his human body. And we eat his body and we drink his blood and we participate in all that. And because of all that, you have a heavenly inheritance. It's waiting for you. Heaven is waiting for you. And one day, the King of the universe, our Savior, will come to you and say, truly, as you did it for the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.